In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat if you would. Our reading today from Deuteronomy, if you know a little bit about Deuteronomy, it's the last book of the Pentateuch, or the first part of the first five books of the Bible, the holy books in Hebrew Scripture. And it ends with the death of Moses. And so one of the tasks of the book of Deuteronomy was to build up or to make certain that the Hebrew community knew that there was going to be an established line of prophecy throughout the whole experience of the Hebrew community, throughout the whole experience of those men and women who were of Abrahamic faith. And so we hear in this reading how it was that God was telling Moses that God will continue to raise up prophets. And in the time of Moses and thereafter, particularly, most of the kings had sort of schools of prophets around them. It wasn't like, you know, we understand a prophet to be someone like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Micah or one of those people in the scripture. But in those days, the kings had prophets, and some of the prophets were good. They were like advisors, and other prophets were, well, not so good. But what Moses was hearing from God was that there were prophets who were going to be raised up, who were going to be able to speak in the name of God. And in the gospel today from St. Mark, it's the very beginning of Mark. It says they're at Capernaum, so they're way north at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is just, chapter 1, Jesus is just beginning his teaching and his preaching, and they're in the synagogue, and it's a Sunday morning, and the scribes were there probably interpreting the law, and all of a sudden this Jesus opens his mouth, and it becomes clear pretty immediately that this is one of those prophets that Moses was assured would continue to be present to the Hebrew community. And in this case, it became clear that Jesus spoke, twice Mark said it in this very short pericope, that Jesus spoke with authority in his teaching. It wasn't like the scribes who interpreted the law. Jesus was the authority. And we know, as Mark progresses later and later, that that authority is an authority not of law, the way they understood it, but an authority of love. And so it kind of begs the question for us today, you know, so what? I mean, all this happened, what, 2,000 years ago or more? So what difference does it make that this prophetic experience is alive to us? That there is real prophecy happening among us? That somehow we are called to listen to authority in our lives? Where is it? Where does it come from? How is it that we interpret that experience? And part of what Mark did, very interesting, if you've been in part of the Bible studies, we talked about the sandwiches that Mark presents us. And this is one of them. He talks about teaching and authority. And then he talks about this miracle, this demonic possession of this man. And then he talks about teaching and authority again. So let's focus on this possession thing. The people realized very clearly that God, through Jesus, was speaking to them, and the miracle happened, that this man who was possessed, at the word of Jesus, convulsed. And it was in that convulsion that the spirit came out of him, that evil spirit came out of him. I think about, in my own life, experiences that I've had. And when I was praying over these readings this week, I was recalling a lot of the experience I had when I was actually doing therapy and functioning as a psychotherapist. And I remember early on, people would come who were troubled. And I got into this work because I believe in people, that I believe that each and every one of us are created in God's own image and likeness, that we are created good, that we are to reflect this Spirit of God with each other and to each other and to the world around. But people would come because they were troubled. That inner self, that there was something going on where they felt out of sync. Call it a demon. That was part of who they were, that they struggle with, that was not congruent with who they felt like they were created to be, and that conscience that somehow brought them to come to know Jesus as part of who they were. And so therapy was that, in a way, that convulsion. It was that ability for an individual to be present to that garbage, as it were, that pain, that anxiety, that fear, that anger, that whatever it is that was out of sync with who they knew they were called to be and become. It was that convulsion. It was that time for that spirit to somehow leave that individual so that they could be free. And I'm not sitting here saying that everyone needs to go to therapy to have that experience. What I'm saying is that each and every one of us who are on a journey, who are desirous of being as God-like, as Christ-like as we possibly can, know in our sinfulness that there are those spaces inside of us that need freedom. And that we have a Jesus who stands before us promising release from whatever it is that causes us to be out of sync with that self that we are created to be in God's own image and likeness. And the promise and the good news of this gospel and this and Deuteronomy is that God will be with us on our journey, and that we are never finished, and that forgiveness and healing are part and parcel of the Christian journey and experience. And that's what we celebrate in these readings today. Not that we're perfect. We don't celebrate that we have it all together. We don't celebrate that we know everything. St. Paul says in the second reading, somewhere in here, he says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so these readings today offer us promise. When we know and experience that brokenness, that pain, that sinfulness, that anger, where it is that we're out of sync with ourselves, the selves that we know we are to be, when we know that to be real in our lives, and we do, that God is there for us in Jesus, and that Jesus desires by his very presence in our lives to draw out those demons and to bring us into deeper unity with ourselves. And that becomes the human experience. It is who we are, and it is who we are to be for each other. Men and women who love each other as we are, who can be promised to each other, but most essentially, who can be accepting and loving of each other in our brokenness, in our neediness, not in our perfection. And so, brothers and sisters, we gather around this table today, and we know that we are fed for the journey, and we are promised, even as we ritualize it in absolution, forgiveness in our brokenness. We live in that promise. It is, in fact, the good news of the gospel. That is who we are. And we are always called to a deeper and richer experience of the presence of God. Not so much that God that's out there, but that God that is inside of us. So using, you know, the experience of therapy, I remember when I studied therapy, we did things like studied Gestalt therapy with, you know, from Fritz Perls. And I remember the experiences of convulsion that were very real when I would have, you know, people beat up pillows with, I don't know if they do that so much anymore, I haven't done therapy for a while, beat up pillows with, you know, tennis rackets and yell at empty chairs and those kinds of things that those kind of convulsive experiences as it were. And those were pretty dramatic. But for most of us, our convulsions are pretty low key. They amount to getting up in the morning and figuring out that I really have to adjust my mood here today. They might amount to getting up in the morning and reading something in the paper and instead of being so critical, maybe try to hear what's going on. They amount to somehow being able to not call each other names. They amount, you know, somehow to accept people that are to learning how to accept people that are might be very different from me. They amount to all kinds of little things typically in our lives. But that's where we find God. And that's where we live our human experience. Most of us would never have the energy to live absolute peak experiences of drama each and every moment of our life. We would wear out. But what we do experience each and every moment of our life, if we are genuine with ourselves, is some kind of area in our being where we know we need to look in the face of Jesus and let that convulsion happen. What we read today in the gospel is for us good news. And it's not about our being perfect, but it's about our being constantly, relentlessly loved by a Jesus who desires to continue to draw us into deeper union with Him through each other. In the power of the Spirit among us. Amen.